Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Fresh bread from the ovens of heaven, and let your people be truly fed with the very words that come from your mouth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bless the Lord and magnify him this morning. Let's give him all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. This morning I want to welcome everybody who made it to the service this morning. It's by grace. There's no man that will get into God's presence on the day that you die and say, "I made it." It was grace. It was mercy. Start this journey in mercy, we'll finish in mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. God has not asked us to seek him in vain. So that is why I have hope. That's why when I sleep, I'm not afraid. For he will not leave my soul in hell. Neither shall he suffer his Holy One to see corruption. I am perfect, not because I'm perfect, but because I have him. I am in him. And he is in us. And so when God looks at me, when he looks at you, he sees his Son, Jesus. There is nothing any man can do to earn his grace. Jesus did everything for us. Hallelujah. And let that be your confidence. Don't give way to low self-esteem. Don't be tempted to begin to look at yourself and feel like the world is against you. No, it was first against Jesus. Hallelujah. He came unto his world, his own did not receive him. Bible says, but as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God after the order of Jesus Christ. Stop looking to yourself. We have something bigger on the other side. Hallelujah. 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 I will continue to press until I become exactly like you. This morning, I want to start to teach you a new series. I titled this Unveiling the New Man. Hallelujah. Unveiling the New Man. And I'm just going to trust the Lord to guide me and help me to do justice. I don't seem to be very good at doing justice, but I trust him. I'm not going to rush this, but I'll do my best to do the damage and to escape the danger. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We glorify Jesus. La kumbrash katale sata de rekapoto zafede. Salana de shapadisa. Open my eyes, let me see into your heart, O God. Scripture says in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord has made. And he said unto the woman, yes, as God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. It's not enough for you to know your divine abilities. It's not enough for you to know your spiritual giftings. It is important for you to know the strength of your enemy. To know his strategy. If not, you'll be bringing a gun to a missile warfare. You bring bows and arrows to a bazooka challenge. Yes, it is a weapon, but inadequate, grossly misfitted for the task, the challenge that is in front of you. And many times it seems that we have victories here and we have losses here. So before you engage in spiritual warfare, it is your duty to first of all seek the face of the Lord and say, should I advance? Should I engage? Some battles were not meant for you to engage because their design was to weary you out so that you will not be ready for the main battle. You see the story of David when he was going to face Goliath. The first warfare that rose against him was the warfare of family, the warfare of his brothers. They brought a mental accusation against him. Say, well, who do you think you are? You think you can come into here and just begin to, you are a shepherd. You are trained a shepherd. You don't know how to hold a weapon. You know, so that was the warfare. So you should expect that many times just before you advance into the next phase of God's plan for your life, family will rise against you. They will not understand your prophecy. They will not understand what the Lord is saying to you. For all they care, you are the last child in the family. And you need to sit and listen to what we have to say. Many times they think you are not mature for what the Lord is laying upon your heart. When you tell them the Lord spoke to them, they will ask you how. How? My dad said to me several years ago, when I said to him, I said, Daddy, you once told me that except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I said, I want to share that gospel with you again. Say, because I have now met him. Then my dad said to me, before I married your mom, that Bible over there had bought it. That's what my dad said to me. He said that I read that Bible back and, you know, page to page, cover to cover, before I married your mom. I said, well, Daddy, we are not talking Bible reading. I'm talking about salvation. I'm talking about salvation. Except a man is born again. I didn't say he didn't go to anybody. He went to church and he's seen an evangelist or whatever. I said, except a man is born again. Daddy, you need to give your life to Christ. I once heard these words from you, but now I present it to you again. It's important for you to understand the strategy of the enemy when engaging, so that you know the level of wickedness you are about to engage. When you are dealing with rulers of darkness, you are dealing with high power principalities that fell with Satan when God sent them out of heaven. You don't engage those kind of spirits with quotable quotes. They don't speak English. These are wicked spirits. They will kill you. They will take you out. So when God wanted to raise in us sons, it is because there are certain warfare God sends, only God can send his sons to. God doesn't send angels to those kind of to do a son's job. And that's why God keeps pleading with us to take in so much of the word, to meditate, learn how spiritual thing works, learn how the spirit realm operates, so that you can be in this realm and operate and touch dimensions in the spirit by the power of faith. Bible says this, the serpent was more subtle. The word subtle means something that is not loud. It's not bright. Can gloss over it. It's not noticeable or obvious in any way. And many times your warfare will be like that. It will have all kind of medical explanations. It will have all kind of scientific explanations. Except that now the serpent is now more subtle than any other thing. Have you seen a lion charge at a prey before? It's direct. It just goes for it and will pursue you. And if you're unlucky, the lion made friends with the cheetah and decided to come for you. The cheetah doesn't get tired. Keep running, I'm here. Just run, run. That's my thing. I run. But you see the serpent? You thought it's going that direction? It's already at your back. So there's a subtlety. There's this thing about it that is unpredictable, that makes the devil very comfortable with a serpent. You won't see him coming. Because when the devil was going to deceive Eve, he needed an animal that he can morph that character into. And it was the serpent he found. Even the lion, if you have seen the lion, you say, this one ain't good. And look at the way the devil presented the case to him. He didn't go there. He said, did the Lord say? When the devil begins to put question marks in your heart about the dealings of God in your life, when the devil begins to, like, I thought you said you heard God, so why are you here? Well, possibly you heard yourself. Begins to sell all kind of cheap lies to you. You are sitting right there in church, but you have conversations with the enemy going on in your mind. And it just makes a lot of sense that how can a man be this educated and at the same time so stranded? You just look at your family. You can't point to one person that is doing well. And the devil begins to tell you, like, oh boy, time to probably shine your eyes and take some bold steps about your destiny. The devil begins to sell lies to you. And you know what? The devil always makes sense. It is not enough for you to know the grace of God given to you. It is wisdom for you to know your enemy's strength and weaknesses. Every time the devil begins to ask you a question, don't respond with an answer. Are you hearing me? These are conversations in the heart. You won't know it's the devil. The devil told you, "Oh, I'm the devil. I want to ask you a few questions." You probably say, "I bind you in Jesus' name." These are conversations with the enemy. They go on in the heart. Many times we have had these conversations and how you know you are listening to the devil is that the conversations tend to test God's faithfulness in your life. That's the test. It's an acid test. They want to test God's faithfulness. Why is your business crumbling? Why is everybody owing you? Why is that every time you give people money, they never return it? And now you are so broke. Certain things, the devil just tried to bring you out of the realm of faith into the realm of the senses. And you have to be careful. This has happened before you know it. There are conversations in the mind. Eve couldn't even tell. I'll give you another proposition. Every time the devil tries to bypass you, bypass your husband and come to you to make a decision, you can tell it's the devil. Because the Bible says in the book of Joel chapter 2 that this army, they do not break ranks. If the serpent has said to Eve, "Let my husband come," he's not around. I told you the greatest power of the enemy is in deception. He will tell you are more than what you are and tell you can make a decision now. You can choose this now and nothing will happen. The moment you break that rank, somebody's going down. At the point where she had gotten and trapped Eve, it was even impossible for Adam to turn his back again because there was compromise in the system. Is he going to divorce his wife? Is he going to send her packing? What do you do with somebody that compromised within your own airspace? The greatest power of the enemy is deception, not power. The greatest advantage of the enemy is deception, not power. You cannot see deception running up and down. You see you can identify deception in the place of stillness. The Bible says, "In quietness and in confidence shall your strength be." If you are always up and down, you cannot see what the devil is doing. Because the devil never makes an offer you will not look at a second time. Satan knows that if he can distract you from the battle, from little things, you will find it hard to defeat him. Let me repeat. Satan knows that if he can distract you from little things, you will find it hard to defeat him. Have you ever seen an iroko tree? All plantations have their root in the soil. Many times, the roots can be very small, just there, easily ignorable. But they power an entire system over the surface of the earth. The devil will cause you to distract the things that are for you and begin to look at the things that are not for you. And now suddenly you begin to look at, maybe there's something really wrong with me. Oh, maybe I'm not beautiful enough. Oh, and for many of us, you know, especially the lady folks, you most times you are always in a battle for self-affirmation. You want to be sure that you look good to yourself when you look at the mirror. And you are really hoping that people turn their heads a second time when you walk past them. So there's a battle for self-affirmation that has led us to where we are right now. Everybody wants to be accepted. And somebody told you can't do that except you are like this or you are like that. So by the time devil gets you to the point where you are easily distracted by little things like self-affirmation, you just find that it doesn't matter your prayer life, you can't defeat him. The strength of great things are in small things. Second Corinthians chapter 2. I want to read this. Second Corinthians chapter 2. I really hope that people can make some sense out of this nonsense, because most of the times we are looking for the enemy in the wrong places. I want to read verse 9 and 10. Verse 9 to 11. "Say, to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you are obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgive I it in the person of Christ. Lest," what? "Satan should" do what? "Get an advantage over us. For we are not" what? "Ignorant." The word "ignorant" very key. Of what? Of his device, of his machinations, of his strategy. We are not ignorant. So Paul was saying here that they had a situation in that church that a lot of people had been hurt, and the church needed to move, and God said, look, you guys, if you want to move from this stage, you have to come into a place of forgiveness. You have to forgive this person who has done that, forgive and receive the person as a brother, as family. And Paul said, even though I'm not there, but I forgive the person. He said, because if we do not do that, we open up the church to satanic attack. An entire church, people who will come in from the door not knowing what went wrong, will come into the battle and they'll start having all kind of problems. We cannot afford, look at the power of something as simple as unforgiveness. Oh, you don't call it unforgiveness, you call it my own opinion, my say. I don't rub shoulders with people anyhow. I like to take my stand. I am different, I'm unique, blah, blah, blah. I won't let you rub me and push me to the floor. We have all kind of fancy names for things like unforgiveness and malice. It doesn't matter what you say. Paul was stating very clearly here, if you live in unforgiveness, you have opened a channel to the devil to destroy your home. It will touch your business, it will touch everything. You will be so amazed at what unforgiveness can do in your life. Paul said the devil will take an advantage over you if you live in. So he said, I forgive, people should forgive, but I am also forgiving even though I'm not there. Because it's one thing for the church to be healed, but if the set man is not healed, the channel is still open. As believers, we are Christians, called first to be Christians before Nigerians. We must come into the place where we choose unforgiveness all the time. All the time. Will we have reasons to be offended? Will we have reasons to be hurt? Sometimes hurt at, annoyed at God. Because you feel God didn't do something, that he did it for that person, shared that testimony, he didn't do it for you, so why? And we all have questions. We all have questions. It is our ability to respond in faith to God that makes us different. Many times we are in a service and just when you are about to close, the Lord begins to speak to me and is telling me to tell somebody that the problem I am also having, he just fixed it for that person. The person has the same problem. See, the Lord said, I should tell you, it's going to heal your body. And I said, so what about me? He has moved. Say, tell the other person that I'm going to give. Sir, I'm here. He said, now you tell the other person. So sometimes people, you may be tempted as a minister to think that you are even better off being on that side. So at least you can quickly talk to you. You can receive quickly and be on your way. It's a dangerous place to be. Hallelujah. He said, I forgive, lest Satan should take an advantage over us. Many times in this part of the world, we have so many reasons to be hurt. We have so many reasons to be offended. You have so many reasons. You allow people into your space and then they violate your privacy. They destroy you. And every time you walk on the road and you see anything that looks like that young man, you remember where you have been and like, wow. 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 A lot of people are carrying some of these odds everywhere, up and down, telling themselves it's going to be okay. I thought time was supposed to heal, but hey. We are still here, still hurting. Meanwhile, the other guy moved on, settled down. You can't deal with the fact. Why do you think people get raped and then they go back and fall in love with the person who raped them? Oh, if you haven't heard about that. You guys are new. You are new in this world. I mean, you've not seen people who got violated and then they now became attracted to that other person. They can't tell. We know it's all so tired and all, but many times it stems from the fact that they can't deal with the fact that they have been violated and they can't face the world. That's why I see so many people, whenever you're talking to them, they're always looking to the ground. You think it's humility. No, something has bent that head. Nothing can be more humiliating for a man than to look the way I look or to look like the way a girl looks, and you can't even cough out 5,000 free of charge. And then somebody looks at you and say, Pastor, I was blessed by a leadership series. Sir, I have a problem. I need transport fare. Where are you coming from? Agbara or something. Or Abule Egba. Say, okay, how much do you need? Like, I can get like 1,000. Say, eh. Oh, she even says like, somebody paid my way down. If I can get somebody to do my transport fare back. How much did I say? 500. You have never been there. Those who have been there know you don't want to be there again. That you walk on the road, people are even thinking you have, and you know you're at your wit's end. You know Some of you have never really been broke. You thought you've been broke, but when you get to the point where you have to look into the face of your children, and you know that before God and before man, there's no where that school fees is coming from. You don't know what I'm talking about. Or when you have to pay your house rent, and you know, this is no matter if I have something I kept somewhere, or I have one brother I can call. I'm saying right now, you know, in heaven and on earth, there is nowhere you can run to. If you are not careful, the devil will take an advantage over you. Because he will remind you of all those times God used you to bless other people. But I sowed seeds. But I gave my tithe. These are seasons of contradictions. And except you learn how to navigate through it. Say, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, I shall not want. Because he leads me. That is the point where you need the greatest leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. Because you just wake up one day, you notice that all your friends that used to be in secondary school, well, some of them are even doing masters right now. And like, here you are. You can't even tell them. You must not have a conversation with them that talks about which school did you finish from. Are you still here? These are seasons that we must learn to know how to respond to God so that we are not caught on our ears. Paul here talked about the issue of unforgiveness, because you may be living in unforgiveness and nobody will know. You need to be healed so that you can tell your story, so that others can find hope. My father was the first man to go to university in his family. First, it was second child, second son, first graduate. My father built his first house before he was 30 in Benin City. He was successful at an early age. When my dad passed on, I didn't see anybody. My father trained 11 out of 12 children to school. I mean my uncles and aunts. Trained them. There's one of them who is actually very good now. It's an international ministry. It's a pastor. He used to be with Deeper Life. My dad swore that he would send him to any school he wanted in the world because he was extremely brilliant. I can't remember the last time I saw him. I must have been a child. Even when my dad passed, he didn't come. It was my... And thank God for Edo people, Benin people. I will always love you. You can't have offense with me. Amen. My dad's landlord gave him quick notice in Benin City and said, my dad's name is Adeniyi Isaac. Hey, yeah, man. As in Adeniyi Isaac. So he said to him, he said, Ade, I'm going to send you away from my house. Say, because you don't want to develop yourself. Wow, that was strong. My mom knows all the stories. She has all the records. Women have all the records. Amen. They keep dates and time. Give it to them. They can finish you. All they have to do is just dig deep into your story. They won't have to look too far to see how to get you down. I'm talking about able-bodied men who are broken inside. Broken records. They're just there looking at you, smiling because they know that they should even start telling you their story. There's nothing you can do. You only tell them is well. The man gave my dad a quick notice and said, leave my house. You are using your money to train family. Family never show you before. That's the language used for my dad. Say, family never show you before. They use your money to take care of family. You don't go train yourself. You don't go train your children. Come up from my house. That's what forced my dad to go apply in the University of Ife and became a graduate of sociology. The first set to go for NYC in Nigeria. So, Benin people, I love you. Wherever you are, all over the world, amen. I'm your man. Amen. But after my dad passed, and I didn't see any of them. Wow. I remember what that man said. All of a sudden, everybody's busy. You know the funny thing? Where my dad trained most of them to is still where they are today. Sometimes I see them on the island. How are you, uncle, doing? It's fine. How's your family? Fine. I just bless them. But it's a difficult place to be. It's a difficult place to be. Because if I have 10 able-bodied uncles, I shouldn't be asking my mom where my school fees will come from. Ah, brother, I needed to fast. I fasted. I prayed. God bless my mom. 2,500 per month. She raised 4 children through the university. So sometimes I just cut her some slack. I mean, just do whatever you want. So we've been through a lot already. And that's why some of you can open your mouth and preach against MFM, man, because you have not seen life. They never worry you before. When the devil is on your case, he's not grammar. The devil doesn't speak English. It was in those seasons of pain I had to learn how to be close to God. I had conversations with angels. I heard God speak to me. I learned to value my experiences. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil take advantage of you. Go back home and forgive all of them. Most of you don't know that just before my dad passed, and today is not really about my dad, but where this Father's Day. My dad was already about to go to the Senate. And they weren't in contesting, it was just picked. Go and represent our constituency. Because my dad still used to come home in Ondo State. We lived in the north. And then he was educated, so they felt we need one of our sons who still comes home to go and represent, or somebody who can relate with. My dad didn't make it to that place. I remember when they tried to persuade him to take a chieftaincy title. My dad said, I can't have both spiritual and traditional title. That's the answer. Even though I was still trying to preach to him to be born again. But he understood that part. I remember once we were in the room and he had an attack. And then his blood pressure rose up. And then he said, Gwenga, pray for me now. And I remember that day that man went and said, pray for your dad. Lekana Musi Tarida Lefe Shatraska. And my dad submitted himself for me to pray for him. This was the same man who took a stone and was going to mark my face because I followed Jesus. The only inheritance I got from him was that Bible. Stay in my mom's house. If I get back to Accra, probably I'll look for it, bring it to Lagos. Very big Bible. That was the only thing I got from him. He first presented the gospel to me, but I ended up representing it to him. You cannot walk in hate and be the son of your Father in heaven. You cannot. I had to deal with the fact that I had to forgive. It was tough. I won't tell you it was a walkover. It was not a walkover, but I had to come to that point. Just because I forgive doesn't mean I come and beat in your house. But I release you. I release you. You must be careful so that the devil does not take an advantage over you. There are people who have lost entire businesses simply because somebody swindled them and they could not forgive. So every other business they were doing kept having problems. The devil will never come directly at you. He will just come through some corners. You will think it's mathematical calculation. You will think it's nature. It's an attack. It is only in forgiveness your spiritual eyes are open to see the true state of things. I need to run. I can show you my scars though. There are some I can't even show you because I'm still battling with them. So I can show you these ones because I've passed it. There are certain things the devil would like you to be ignorant about. I want to read Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to 3, quickly. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And I hope this message really helps someone. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they will be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. So one thing the devil always wants you to be ignorant of is your righteousness. Your righteousness in God, in Christ. One of the ways you will know that is you always look at yourself. You're always looking at yourself, feeling like the world is against you. Feel like nobody understands. You see, as long as you are still in that level. And this, a lot of ladies get caught up in this easily, maybe because of the structure of our psychology. It's very easy unconsciously to begin to feel like, you start looking at yourself and feel like the whole world is against you. You are trying to establish your own righteousness. When Jesus died on that cross, he took you on that cross with him. It was not a virtual you, it was an actual you. He took you on that cross with him and you died with him. You died with him. There beside him were the worst criminals on earth, and he went to the grave with them. He didn't die in the midst of angels. He didn't die in the midst of saints. He was in the midst of people who had offended and who God was angry at, the country was angry at, and he died. And this was the shape of the cross. You come together. One. Out of two, he made one. Out of two, he made one. Come, the most vile. Come, the most hated. Come, the abortionist. Come, the kidnappers. Come, you. Murderer, come. You. Yes, you. Come. And then he brought them to himself and he gave up the ghost. There is no sin that blood cannot cleanse. There is no yoke that blood cannot break. That is the most prized possession of heaven, the blood. Not even the throne, the blood. The symbol of our redemption. The reason why we know when we die, we will see him. The only assurance we have, the blood. The blood. It's not Ribena, it's the blood. Don't let the devil get you into a tight corner where you begin to look at establishing, right? Oh, because I sowed the seed, I expected this. Because I did that stuff, that you are trying to establish your righteousness. No, you do what you've got to do and let God do what he's got to do. You can't take God's role. You're either a man or you are God. But you can't be good. God is great, you are not. Deal with it. You might give and you get an instant result. You might give and not see anything. But it's not that the thing is dead. But if you are planting a mahogany and you are planting a guava tree, is it the same period? No, come on, man, deal with it. We left school. I was in SS1 when my dad passed. God raised strangers. Strangers. To pay our school fees. People we never knew. People that my dad had used, professors that my dad had used a phone call to get jobs for on a phone in the days of telephone. Not GSM, telephone. With dialing tone. Were the people God raised. It was in that season of darkness that I realized that some people don't eat rice the way we eat it. They pick the rice the way they pick beans. I said, no, I was with this aunt. Not blood, but somebody my dad had helped, and I stayed with them. And she said, "Benga, I want to pick beans. I pick rice. Take out the broken ones. I don't like broken grains in my food." I say, "Wow, what a prosperity! I've never heard it before. Like, what's this? This is not beans." Say, "No, pick out the broken grains. I only want the long grains." Wow. Wow, this is somebody's going to eat. This is what somebody's going to eat. I mean, by the time I put this thing in my stomach, in my mouth and chew it, who knows which is broken away? But that's what she just likes, the long grains. And I sat there, I was speaking it. She came for my wedding. She came and said, "Wow, you're all so grown." I said, "Yeah." "You work in a bank?" I said, "Yeah." "A man of God?" I said, "Yes." "So please, can I ask my daughter to come and stay with you? Tables have turned. Times have changed. Don't let unforgiveness hold you back." You will tell your story, but it's not today. Your time is coming. Believe me as your prophet, your day is coming. You will tell your story. Everybody will wish to be you that day, but they didn't want to go through all you went through. Be careful about establishing your righteousness. It never works. It will not. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. My time is up. I need to rush. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I hope this is making sense to somebody. Amen. Now concerning spiritual gifts, I will not have you to be ignorant. This one area the devil wants you to be ignorant about. Right now, as I speak, some people are still wondering if they have the gift of prophecy, or whether it's just once in a while they prophesy, or my own is dream, is trance. People just give themselves gifts. They just dash themselves. People don't even know. They don't know where they are. Understanding your gift is the key to understanding the power of your gift. I repeat, understanding your gift is the key to unleashing the power of that gift. Because now it's not just enough to know the gift. You must now test the strength of that gift. Can I carry 9 inches? We are 100 people in this place. Can my capacity stretch to 200? You don't know until you test it. But if you are even still trying to deal with what your gift is, hey bro, at this stage, you are late. It is not pride to call yourself by the name God calls you. If God calls you a prophet, that is who you are. If God calls you an inventor, that is who you are. It is pride to reject in the name of humility what God has called you. I am who God says I am. I didn't opt for it. I didn't choose for it. I don't make apologies for it. How many rich men do you see who castigate rich men? It's always the poor people castigating the rich people. Poverty is not the absence of cash. It's a state of the mind. Throw a few money around in your area and see the way people will come and ask, and want to have one committee in this area, like you to be part of it. And they always put you in the finance committee. Building committee. How many poor people have you seen in building committees? You must either be earning a salary in our old churches, or you're a businessman. And riches have levels. A man of God, Benga Igbafen, some of you may not know him. In those days, when we used to listen to prosperity convention, the man had gone to preach in a church, and then after the service, he saw the building committee meet. He was a guest minister. And I said, God, good day, God bless you. Thank you for coming. He said, which committee is this? Which team is this one? So we are the building committee of the church. So what are you discussing about? And want to raise money for the... He said, how much is money? He said, I think they cost some, let's say like 5 million way back. He said, is that why people are meeting? He said, this band. 5 million, everybody go. I said, so riches have level. For those of you who think it is only rich people that go to hell, there are rich people in heaven. And God is not broke. He's so rich that he doesn't even spend dollars. He doesn't spend euro. Yes. That's how rich he is. Whatever he wants, he just thinks it. He imagines, he says it. Pam, that's it. It's not stranded. Never been. That's your own father. Your own father. You understand? So thinking small is not humility. It's an insult to the integrity of God's throne. It's an insult to the integrity of God's throne. That they look at you, they can't smell heaven on you. I'm sorry to say, but we have a big mental problem here. God doesn't spend naira. He can give it to you. He doesn't need it. It's you. 1380 to a dollar. That's your calculation. It's yours. Take it. We don't need it here. There's no bank, central bank of naira in heaven. It's the central bank of grace. Because God knows. You see, I know Abraham. When you have come to that place where God says, please, when we are talking, leave this side. Abraham, he will not fail you in this side. Abraham will give. Abraham is not asking for receipt when he pays his tithe. He's not asking for, at the end of the year, we'll come and announce, this is what we'll deal with the money. There's no time. I gave to my God. it's important for you to identify your gift. When I say gift, I'm not just talking about spiritual gift. I'm talking about abilities that heaven has put on your inside. The ability to communicate. Communication is not easy. You understand? Yeah, to hold a crowd for 2 hours, 3 hours, and you're just talking and you still have the attention. It's a gift. It's not something anybody can do. Have you not had wonderful professors in school, but that didn't really know how to talk so much? How many mathematicians do you know who talk so well? Many times their English is a disaster when they write, but give them a calculator and they understand maths question, they don't understand English. You understand? So identify your gifts, know them, accept them. Don't, because the battles you will go through in your life, your gift set have been configured to take you through to the end. So if you don't deal with it and take it back into God's presence and let God breathe on it, then you would have been ignorant, the devil will cheat you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Another thing the devil won't like you and really love you to be ignorant about is to be ignorant of the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, so that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Christians don't respond well when it comes to the issue of death. Death is not the end of us. Our faith in Christ is not just good for living, it's also good for dying. Paul said many times, I'm torn between whether I should go or whether I should stay. Say, if I stay, it's for your benefit. But if I go, hey, I rest. Our approach towards the subject of death can depict the level of faith we really have in God. Many times we just break down. There's nothing wrong with mourning people we lose. But we are not hopeless. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, so that you don't sorrow beyond what is necessary. When my dad passed, I had only one question. I said, why? 96, this is 2018, no answer yet. Sometimes I wish he was actually around to see what I've become. Sometimes I really wish that. But I have to deal with it. When he was talking to my mom a few days before he passed on, and he said, last night I was in heaven. So, and I saw Jesus. See, he really looks so much younger than we see in those calendars. That's what I was telling my mom on hospital bed. So, and then I crossed the line and I ran to him, and he said, no, just a few more days, go back. Then I went back. My dad died 3 days after. I'm sure his knowledge would have been perfected by now. Because some of the things I tried to explain to him about baptism of the Holy Ghost that he was always arguing with me about. Well, too bad. You don't get to speak in tongues, but I think some of those things. I'm sure he's seen from up there, but I'm just saying I really wished he was here. Every time my mom just gets on my head, I'll just say, please, dad, talk to your wife, please. I can't do this. She's your wife. But where do I send my mom to? I'm here. We have to deal with it. If your parents died in the Lord, if they died with the names of Jesus on their lips, you have nothing to fear. You will see them again. Don't let the devil rob you of your joy. We are not hopeless people. When believers die, they don't just stop existing. They begin to stay with God in His presence. Let that give you some comfort. Let that give you some hope. Let that give you something to be joyful about. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. My time is up. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1 to 5. Another thing the devil would like you to be ignorant about is God's word. 1 Peter chapter 3. Sometimes I wake up on Sunday and I'm wondering, Lord, what's today's message going to look like? Because I'm so clueless. But today is a good day, amen. This message came just 45 minutes before the fire came up, during the prayers this morning. Now I have to quickly write it down. What did I ask you to open? Oh, I think I really got that mixed up. Let's try Second Peter. Do we have Second Peter 3? Verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both ways, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Sometimes when you want to read your Bible, don't put yourself in this quiet time mode. Just put yourself in a mode like, I just want to read. Are you with me? I just want to read. It's not every time you in this prayer fasting mode. Sometimes I just want to read my book. You understand? That mode. Just read. There's a blessedness that comes with just reading. You can change the version if you like. He said, by way of remembrance, that you are mindful of the things which are spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that they shall come in the last days, what? Scoffers, walking after their own laws, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water in the water, whereby the world that was then was overflowed with waters. God was saying to us that because of the onslaught of the enemy in these last days, people are going to despise scriptures, people are going to despise the things of the spirit, and we already see that now. He's here with us. People despising Hallelujah Challenge, people despising creative ideas to bless God, to appreciate him. I mean, it's my data, for Christ's sake. Can you just shut up? I mean, I'm using my data to praise God. Yesterday I used it for Facebook, today I used it to praise God. Please, can you just give me a break? It's my phone, amen. Do your thing, let me do my thing. People just don't want you to be, they want to hush you when you try to be expressive about your love for God. When you wake up in the morning and you want to praise God, like, hey, you are too loud. You are too loud? Come on, man. Brother Kingsley, say, yeah, you are too loud. You are too loud. You are too loud. People can't stand the fact that you've got a reason to praise God. Say you sweat too much, you scream too much, you holler too much, you shout too much. Can't you praise God the way we used to do it? Don't allow anybody's cough at God's word in your mouth and in your heart. Bible says in the last days there will be opportunity. And many times when they laugh at you or they jeer at you, you withdraw. Sometimes these things happen and you withdraw. And many times you find it difficult coming out of your shell to relate with those people again. And then that means since you've withdrawn, you can't even get to show them the love of Jesus Christ. Don't be ignorant of God's word. Scoffers will arise in these last days. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Same scripture, verse 8. Say, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. I want to implore you not to be ignorant of divine seasons. Do not be ignorant of divine seasons. There are certain periods in your life that heaven is just there and things are happening so quickly. Do not despise the day where heaven is open unto you. Sometimes you are in your room and you are just worshiping God. There's no keyboard, there's nothing, but you can sense God's presence in that room with you. Don't despise those days. Remember them. Remember those awesome seasons when God just came through for you. Don't just remember the days nothing happened. Remember the days that something really happened. When you were sick and you prayed for yourself and you got healed. When you were really stranded and you raised your voice to heaven and God came through for you. Those are the things you rest on to provoke the hand of God for that season that you are in. But if all you remember are what the scoffer said and the things that didn't really work for you, how that you don't even have any money in your account and all of that, you are giving the devil room to take advantage over you. This scripture teaches us that even when it's 1 second to go, that 1 second can be equal to a day for God. That means there's enough time.
Yes.
God can show up at the 11th hour, can show up at the 11th hour 59 seconds, and he can show up at the 11th hour 59 nanoseconds. God is never late. If he wants you to have it, you will have it. Bible says, behold, all things have been made ready. This message should bring you to a place of rest with God. You come into a place of rest that all my needs are sorted out, all my needs are catered for, so that you can use your energy to seek after God, to know him more, to be close to him. You are not under pressure because you know that all things have been made ready. I may not have it now, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to have it tomorrow. Hallelujah. Not be ignorant of divine seasons. Know that God is never late. He will always come through for you. Bam! You might have tied the week looking out for something, and then he gave you something better. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many times, the major miracles we had, we didn't have an idea that we would have them 24 hours after. But they came. Trust him. By faith. By faith, we understand that the world were framed by the word of God. By faith we understand. We were not there, but by faith we understand. Lord, I choose to understand that my tomorrow is all right. That when I get into my future, you are already there. And my business is coming back. I'm not going to be broke. I'm going to help people. I'll be able to tell my story and be a source of inspiration for men. Years after, my story will be documented. Now, that was one man that worked with God. That is all I want written on my tombstone. Here lies a man that worked with God. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 35. Luke chapter 13 and verse 35. Luke chapter 13 and verse 35. Behold, your house will be left to you desolate. And verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time shall come when you will say, blessed is the man who comes in the name of the Lord. I want to look at Luke chapter 19, verse 43. Luke chapter 19, verse 43. It says, for the days shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench around thee and compass thee round and keep you on every side, and they shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave thee in one stone upon another, because thou did not know the time of your visitation. Here was an entire nation praying and say, Lord, send the Messiah to us. We want the Messiah to come and redeem us. And when he showed up, because it didn't look like what they expected. So what was Jesus saying? He said, I am your Kairos. I am your Kairos. I am the season of God upon you. But you cannot recognize me. See, your house will now be left to you desolate. Many times the dealings and the move of God upon us will come in packages that we don't recognize. It is only the place of humility and going back to Lord and say, Lord, are you in this? Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. The first step to accuracy in hearing God is to realize you can miss it. So you go back to God and say, Lord, I don't know. This feels good, but what are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? You come into that place. Don't put yourself in a tight corner of trying to make a quick decision. But withdraw, retreat so that you can advance, retreat so that you can advance, retreat so that you can advance, retreat and say, Father, shall I go? Shall I pursue? Then he said, go, for you shall recover all. The power of divine seasons. Seasons can alter problems that have been in generations. Imagine that there was a priest or the high priest was in this meeting when Jesus was speaking. I was saying, your house shall be left to you desolate, because thou did not know the things of God and not the seasons of your visitation. I said, man of God, Emashele, don't do this. We are here. We believe in you. It's just this other faction. We have PDP and APC. We are JPP, Jesus People's Party. We are here. We are here. You believe? See, I believe. So why didn't you talk? Me, I have said my own. I say, please help me reverse it. One man can make a difference. Hallelujah. One man can, don't let the achievement of your parents box you into a corner. You are made for more. You are born for more. You are born for more. Your life will not end up that way. You've got to take your destiny in your hands and run. Finally, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. I hope this message helps somebody. A lot of us are really bound in our emotions, and many times we are tired of telling people because we don't know what to do. Yes, you are raped. We are going to use all of that pain. We are going to use all of that frustration. We are going to lift the flag of Jesus. With all of that pain, as you lift it, there will be tears in your eyes. You are saying, Lord, if you can use anything, use me. I will lift your banner high. High above the heavens. I will lift your banner high. Even with tears in your eyes. That those tears are a greater testimony. The testimony of your brokenness. More than anything you have in smiles and laughter. Do not waste your tears. Say, God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We must begin to see the death of Jesus the way it really is. Jesus didn't die for goats. He died for you. He didn't die for rams. He died for you. Let that mean something to you. Don't look at it like just that thing. That is Easter. That was the name you gave it. In the courts of heaven, that was the day God was reconciled back to his world. That was the day God was reconciled back to his world. Let that mean something to you. Don't expect the world to celebrate it more than you. Make t-shirts, brand t-shirts, proudly Christ, proudly kingdom. Give voice to your convictions, to your persuasions. Don't let the devil give you, like, you see some t-shirt, wicked soul. That's what they write on it, wicked soul. They are probably the baddest of them all. You are my ATM card. That's the ladies now telling that guy. You come in, get ready, man. You're going to spend some money. Are you my ATM card? Number 10. And on this side, you are my ATM card. So if you are not ready to spend, if you are thinking you just came to chop and clean, my boy, you go. See, we know what's going on. Where's your card? Let's go to the ATM first. Let's go see a film. And then she point to all the expensive things. See, I'm just testing you. I want to know if you are able. Whether you are stingy, okay. Actually, I'm not able. I was just passing by. You find your way, I'm out of here. God loves us. In this first part of this series, Unveiling the New Man, I want you to please consider that according to Romans chapter 8 verse 1, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. God has nothing against you.
Yes. Yes.
God has nothing against you.
Yes.
Every time they have tried to misrepresent God to you, but I want to tell you, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Every time you see yourself hidden in his identity. That there's nothing of yourself you lay hold on to. When you come to his presence, you come because you know you are in Christ. You did not have your own righteousness, but that which is of Christ. That there is therefore now no condemnation. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, scripture says that we are now joint heirs with him. When God redeemed us, he didn't just redeem us for the dust. He brought us and said, sit on this throne. Sit with me. Let us rule and govern the nations together. Say, we are now joint heirs. We are co-partners, co-laborers in this work. Every time God has called a man, he called him because he needed a body on the earth, a suit to wear, to come into earth. That is why he keeps calling people. That's why he needs your voice. That's why he needs your legs. That's why he needs your body. That's why he needs you to live healthy, to eat healthy, so that he can use you for a long time. Say, if we are children, say, then we are heirs. If you've come to Jesus, says you are an heir of God. You are the inheritor of God. You are the inheritor of God. God will allow you to inherit him while he is still alive. You will inherit him and he will step back for you to rule the nations with the rod of iron. Say, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. In other words, he holds your hand in his hands and then both of you rule together, standing in the purposes of God. Say, we are joint heirs with Christ. Say, if so be that we suffer with him, we will also be glorified with him. Every pain you have suffered, every rejection you have suffered because of Christ. Some of you, your parents don't want you to follow God. They want you to do some other things. Some people think you lost your mind. Say, every time you suffer because of your faith in Christ, the Bible says you'll be glorified according to that order. Stop running away from persecutions. One more scripture, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15. And verse 14. Ephesians chapter 2. But now in Christ Jesus, and you have to look at scriptures when you read the epistles, everywhere he said in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. That is our identity. Deal with it. Don't let the world tell you something else. We have a lot of people saying nonsense. Go and look at the scripture. This thing is in black and white. He said, now in Christ, you who were sometimes were afar off have been brought near by what? The blood of Jesus Christ. For he is our peace, who has made what? Both one. Both Jew, Gentile, one. Adulterer, abortionist, murderer, two. One. Two. He took your identity with all of your pain and crushed it and gave you his own identity. Say, from now on in the spirit realm, you'll be known as Ada Christ, known as Kehinde Christ. You have nothing of you anymore. Kolawole Christ, Obi Christ, Amaka Christ. You can use my name because it's now yours. When they ask you in the spirit, who are you? Say, I am Messiah. I am Savior. Why? Because he took all of that that was yours and crushed it. And brought and gave you himself. This is the New Testament. It's not written on stones. Scribbled in hearts. And by doing this, it broke down the middle wall of partition. That thing that separated us from him. He took it out of the way. Because now, both to him and to him, he says, he's not ashamed to call them brethren, because we have become one. He's not afraid to call us brothers. When you see him in heaven, you can call him master, you can call him father, but you can also say brother. He's not ashamed to be called your brother. I've never seen that kind of humility. How somebody have so much power and they look at me and say, you are my brother. No, let me be cleaning your shoe. I'm happy here at your feet. He said, I know. But we are brothers. I'm the first born from the dead. But you are my brother. You will see from scripture that God wants so much to be close to us. He's not looking at all those things, big name and title and all. He just wants to be there, a regular guy, there with you. Let this mean something to you this morning. Say, you have broken the middle of partition. A lot of people still deal with conflicts of their personality, low self-esteem. Sometimes you don't know it's low self-esteem because you are trying to defend yourself. Why would they talk to me that way? Who do they think they are? Is it because I'm this? Is it because I'm that? Is it because they're this? You are dealing with low self-esteem, brother. Sister, I deal with low self-esteem. Look at yourself based on scriptures. You are not forgotten. Many times when you don't have words, you just want to chant and look at that cross again. The place where you were born, the place of your birth, Golgotha, the place where you found him again. You weren't looking, he was searching. See, for man has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but it was at the cross, at Golgotha, that I found the glory. Many times you will be lost. You just want to tell him how much you love him and you don't have adequate words. And those periods are the best times. You just lift up your voice and just chant to him. Just chant to him and say, God, I don't know if I can put some words to this, but I just want you to know that I love you and I'm grateful for all you are doing. In spite of everything that is going on, I am grateful, because I know that you will not leave my soul in hell, and I will not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption.
Oh, 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 oh.
We know you've been blessed with these words, so you can as well visit us, plot 223 beside Body Emmanuel Center, Satellite Bus Stop, Ikodu Road, Ilukweju, Lagos. You can also log on to our website at www.theharvestword.org. Contact us for counseling 080-8317-8191. God bless you.